If your morning starts with snap, crackle, pop, and it's not your cereal, call Joint Relief Institute for fast-lasting joint pain relief. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000.
Peter Greenberg is our expert. He's the host of Eye on Travel. You see him on PBS. You see him on CBS. You see him everywhere. Peter, are those numbers unusual? Are there more this year than in years past?
I'm going to surprise you. The answer is not really. Last year, 4.4 billion people flew around the planet, and we celebrated probably the safest 30 years of commercial aviation since aviation began. And I have to just reassure everybody listening that what we've just seen over the last, let's say, 6 weeks, going back to the shooting down of the Azerbaijan plane, the shooting, the terrible crash in Korea, the midair in Washington Reagan, we had the Philadelphia plane, the medical jet, we had a landing gear collapse and a crash in Scottsdale, and now most recently what just happened in Toronto, there is absolutely no connectivity or connection or linkage between any of these accidents, and it doesn't stop me in the least from getting on a plane tomorrow, Saturday or Sunday, and taking off.
And where in the world are you today?
Today I'm in Los Angeles and about to head to France.
Oh, lovely. Delta has come out and offered $30,000 to all the passengers on the flight, the 80 passengers who survived in Toronto. They said no strings attached, but nobody's seen the paperwork. Do you take the money or do you get a lawyer?
Listen, I'm not a lawyer, nor do I play one on your show. This is an act, perhaps, of good faith by the airline. But keep in mind, in cases like this, almost everybody lawyers up. Thankfully, we're not talking about wrongful death cases because nobody died. But you also have to, from a legal perspective, be able to prove damages and certainly emotional distress. I think Delta was just trying to do the right thing in the immediate aftermath of this. But the legal aspects of this are too soon to discuss because they're just evolving as we speak.
Have you ever been in a plane crash?
I've been in some, emergency landings. I've been in two near misses and one serious emergency landing. But remember, I'm traveling about 450,000 miles a year. I'm traveling 300 days a year. Those odds I'm still very happy with.
And I, of course, was watching everything you were putting out after the Toronto crash, and you said that it really is a miracle that it didn't tumble or cartwheel because the results would have been much different. What do you know so far about what happened?
Well, here's what we know. And remember, the investigators have to painstakingly rule everything out before they can ever rule any one thing in. But what we do know is this. There were no reported crosswinds at the time of that accident, which was surprising but interesting evidence. We also know that the plane, as it approached, didn't flare with the nose up like every plane does when it lands, which meant it made a very hard landing, collapsing that landing gear. And if you've seen the video, you saw what happened next. We also know that, how fast it was flying, where it was over the runway threshold. And the most amazing thing is that when it did flip, it landed intact and level, inverted. The plane did not break apart, and there was no significant post-crash fire. The Toronto crash trucks were there almost immediately, putting foam on everything. I mean, this was a textbook case of luck and how to get out of a plane in a relatively short amount of time.
You've talked about that extensively on this show, that you had some doubt whether what was being done in training could actually be put to use in a real-life situation like a plane crash, and that meant evacuating a plane as quickly and as efficiently as needed. Were you impressed by what they did?
Very impressed, but they had a few things going for them. Remember, the actual diameter of the fuselage is not that big. So when people were suspended from their seatbelts from the floor down to the ceiling, getting out was not going to be physically dangerous as much as it would have been on a wide-body plane. And once one person got out, they could help the others. And the passengers more or less listened to the flight attendants, who basically just said, get out, and pushed them out. And nobody was leaving with all their favorite laptops and their favorite pillow. They got out. And look, the gods were with everybody that day, but here's the good news for the investigators. They have a mountain of evidence here. They have video that was taken by another pilot on the ground, coincidentally. They have all the cockpit voice recordings because they got the CDR. They got the flight data that they needed from the FDR on the tail. And they have at least 80 eyewitnesses on that plane, each from a different physical perspective that will allow the investigators to put together a second-by-second timeline as to what happened, how it happened, and most importantly, why it happened.
Is there any key or strategy to surviving a plane crash? Because let's face it, there are a lot of anxious people, people who are already anxious about flying, but others who this has given them some pause.
Well, I'd like to tell you there's a formula here. There's not. The dynamic of every accident is different. There's some anecdotal evidence that says if you're sitting on the back, in the back of the plane, you have a better chance of survival. But it also is basically due to where the engines are mounted. Are the engines on the wing or are they on the tail? And, you know, that's what determines, in many cases, what happens with the actual physical problems once a plane impacts, how fast it's going and what it impacts into. So, no, I don't have an answer for you on that. I don't think, and anybody who tells you they do is lying.
Were you concerned about the firing of people involved with air traffic control?
I'm not only concerned about it, you and I have talked about this before. We're already operating 3 air traffic control centers in this country with staffing levels of under 85%, forcing air traffic controllers as we speak to work mandatory overtime, the one job on the planet that nobody should have to work overtime on. So, yes, I am concerned and worried about that.
And what do you think the impact is of the firing of people who work in national parks? I know if you go to petergreenberg.com, you talk about free entry to U.S. national parks, and I'm reading that the lines could be long, the garbage could be piled up, that there might be an issue based on the amount of people, federal employees, who were fired immediately in the past couple weeks.
Well, if you don't have the staff, you can't maintain normal working hours at the park. It's as simple as that. You know, if you have a scorched earth policy of firing everybody without realizing that you can't move one chess piece without looking at the other 11, you have a problem in the making. Now, if you're dealing with a safety issue, which might be the FAA, or you're dealing with nuclear weapons, which might be the Energy Department, you can't just mass fire everybody without finding out what they do for a living. And we're going to have to let this settle out a little bit to find out how much the damage is. But the bottom line is, it sends the wrong message for recruiting in these critical agencies if people don't think they can keep their jobs.
And what is your experience way people in Europe or Canada or other countries view Americans these days when you travel?
That's a 3-hour show.
Is that what we're going to get this weekend?
Yeah, you'll get part of it this weekend. You are going to see an initial reaction of a growing reluctance of foreigners to want to travel to the U.S. For a number of reasons. In many cases, it might be a natural disaster like the fires in California, where they think all of California is closed and they don't come. Or it may be the floods in the Northeast or the Southeast. But at the same time, there may be some political considerations thinking that America is no longer a welcoming country. All these things play into it. And, of course, what that means is the economic impact and the powerful economic impact of travel and tourism may also be affected.
Peter, thank you for joining us. Have fun in Paris and throughout France, and we'll be listening this weekend.
You got it, Lisa.
Peter Greenberg, you will find him at petergreenberg.com and hear him this weekend on 720 WGN.